Today's sermon is entitled A Proactive God. A Proactive God. It's based upon 1 John 4, 7 through 21, and the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. A Proactive God. I want to make two brief points from today's message, and I'll share with you a bit of my experience with grapes to make these points. I actually did a lot of grape pruning when I was a boy. My father bought his dream home in Virginia in 1969. It was an 86-acre farm, although it really wasn't a farm because my father wasn't really a farmer, and it was far too small to be classified as a profit-making farm. My father was a manager of a symphony orchestra, and he rented the land, the 86 acres, to real farmers who worked tens of thousands of acres. But on our farm, there was a grape arbor. I would say it was about 2 acres of grapes, enough to produce more wine than we could drink in a year, and even more with three adolescent children who were drinking it unsupervised and underage. It was still more than we could possibly drink, and quite frankly, some of it was really undrinkable. My older brother, who was about 13 years old at the time, he really took an interest in grape, in vinology, I guess it is, in making wine, and he did more than I ever did. But my involvement in the process of making wine took the form of the manual labor of picking the grapes, of helping smash the grapes, and all this stuff. One of my responsibilities was pruning the grapevines, and of course, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is talking, I am the vine and you are the branches, and he's using this analogy to a grapevine. Well, I was a pruner, and I used to prune the vines, and then I would gather them all up and all the clippings, and you could actually roll them up into a ball because they were so gnarly that, you know, you started this ball going and it would just pick up the next piece of branch, and you'd end up with this big giant ball of prunings that you would burn at the end, just as Jesus talks about burning the clippings. That's what I used to do. Well, one of the fascinating things that I learned in pruning grapes was how difficult it could be to distinguish the vine from the branch. Sometimes the trunk of the plant split into 2 or 3 or 4 vines, but each of these branched off into different, well, branches. But distinguishing the vine from the branch was not always easy. And so since Jesus chose this analogy, I think that we should note how closely Jesus resembles you and me. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. But it's hard to tell sometimes where one ends and the other begins. We're human, and in many ways indistinguishable from, or Jesus was human, and in many ways he was indistinguishable from you and me, except in the sense that he was human as humans were intended to be. We are made to love, we are made to heal one another, we are made to teach one another and to help one another, not grab everything we can get our hands on, not exploit one another, not take advantage of one another, not accumulate more than what is needed for ourselves in wealth or power. God created us to live peacefully and fruitfully with one another. And in this sense, Jesus was fully human, living that kind of life. Because Jesus resembles us so much, we have the ability to relate to him directly. You know, I grew up in a Christian culture, but also in a pluralist culture where there were a lot of religions to choose from. And one reason that I embrace this faith called Christianity is because it's the only faith on the religious marketplace in which God becomes human, where the gulf between the divine and the earthly is breached in flesh and blood. The distinction is obscured, like the distinction between a grapevine and the grape branch. And because it's breached, I sense that God can really be with us. It doesn't elevate me to the level of God. That's what humanists do. Humanism eliminates God and raises us up. And in essence, it declares, I am the branch and I don't need a vine. And a branch separated from a vine, as you know, is a dead branch. Christians assert that Jesus abides in us, and there is something of the divine dwelling in us. And If we break away from that divine source, we will perish. It's not a matter of us attaining divine status, it's rather a matter of the divine reaching outward into the human realm. Pastor David Loess makes this point that Jesus could have said, "Abide in me, or else I'll cut you off and cast you into the abyss, or else I will disown you and have nothing to do with you." But that's not what Jesus says. What he says is, "Abide in me as I abide in you." In the Greek, the expression for "as," it means that it's already the case, that Jesus already abides in his disciples. You know, those guys who, in a matter of hours from today's passage, will be denying him and betraying him. I often warn folks about their beliefs by telling them not to put the cart before the horse. And by this I mean, don't think that you need to act justly and righteously in order to earn eternal life, to earn God's approval. When people ask if I think God will accept them, I tell them God already has accepted them. He's come into this world and he's died for you, and now he lives for you in Jesus Christ. He's quite a proactive God. The question is not if God will accept you, but rather, will you accept God? Whether you'll tap into the vine that grows and grow stronger, or whether you'll cut your ties with the vine and try to live apart from that vine. As I mentioned before, the branches that grew off of the grapevine so closely resemble the vine that I could not tell them apart. My prayer for you this morning is that we will all be the kind of branch that is so indistinguishable from the vine that we really are Christ-like in every way.